Howard, what is the Canada Excellence Research Chair?
Well, the federal government has had a national competition to bring people in from all around the world to contribute to Canada's research program. And so this is the Canada Excellence Research Chair. Last year in the spring, they awarded 19 CERCs. I'm delighted to be one of those. Each of those comes with $10 million of funding from the federal government, but I think most of the universities involved in this program have also used it as a way to leverage additional resources. So in my case, the province of Saskatchewan is also contributing $10 million, and then the university itself is contributing a further $10 million. So that gives me a $30 million budget, which is one of the largest budgets in water in any academic institution worldwide. So I'm very excited about the opportunities that presents.
Now, you come to us as a world-class researcher in water. Tell me a little bit about what you've done and where you've been.
Well, for the last 32 years, I was head of water and environmental engineering at Imperial College in London. And I guess I've done a whole range of things. For example, I lead an arid zone research program for UNESCO. I'm vice chair of the World Climate Research Program's Global Energy and Water Experiment. I've worked for governments. I've represented Hungary and also Argentina at the International Court of Justice. So I've been involved in quite a range of science and also the connection of science into policy. So in the UK, I've had major programs looking at flooding, surface and groundwater resources and water quality, nutrient problems, and a major program for the UK nuclear industry. So the theme that runs through it is hydrological processes and water quality and the modelling of those in the context of floods, water resources, waste management issues.
Now that you're here in Canada, you're going to be looking at water issues here. What exactly is your mandate with water and research in water?
Well, we put forward a program to the federal government for this competition, and it went out to international peer review and then was the basis of our funding. So that program is defined in terms of three areas, and the first is to do with climate change and water security. And we are planning to look in particular at the way in which climate change is affecting the Saskatchewan River Basin and prairie water issues. So the changing climate, the changing water availability, the changing extremes, and some of the implications for interprovincial and intersectoral water issues. The second is to do with land management and environmental change. So we're interested in the way in which we've changed the landscape of the prairies what that's done in terms of reducing wetlands, changing agricultural practices to make them more resilient, potential issues of pollution, and particularly nutrient pollution, which is a concern, and we're looking at Diefenbaker as an example for that. And then the third theme is to do with sustainable development of natural resources. And our primary Canadian example is the oil sands, looking at reclamation, remediation, and risk assessment issues. Of course, the title of my chair is Water Security, and water security is a very broad spectrum of issues, and we're working with complex environmental systems that also intricately linked to society. They're really social environmental systems. So at the university, we're about to launch a new institute, a global institute for water security, and that will allow us to generate programs in related areas such as social science, including policy and governance, and also water and health.
There's so much research that's going on in all of these different areas that you're going to be touching on. So how are you going to be able to bring all of this together in a meaningful way?
Well, that's a good question, and it's really the heart of my job here, because there's a lot of expertise around me locally. So in the University of Saskatchewan, there are 65 or more water-related faculty, And I also sit in an Environment Canada building, which has some excellent staff and colleagues. And there are many other players in the agricultural community, for example, as well. And then, of course, we're very keen to build bridges to other academic institutions, particularly in Western Canada, but across Canada. So I think that there's a critical need to bring people together, bring disciplines together, to really focus on a set of focal issues. And I think that to generate new interdisciplinary science, you've got to excite people with particular set of problems, and you've got to get them working together in particular places. And that's really what I aim to do. And fortunately, I have the resource to encourage people to work with me in doing that. So back in the university, we've got working groups in each of my three areas, which run right the way across the university. And we're looking at strategic priorities and deciding on where we're going to make our investments. So we're interested in building on the infrastructure for research that's available. Particularly, we're interested in large-scale field experimental programs. And then we're interested in developing the models that you need to interpret and generalize that for guidance to policymakers and managers.
In your presentation, you gave some interesting facts, and you are looking to the future. You're looking like 50 or 100 years down the road in terms of water security, and looking at the growth of population and our need for water. What do you see the situation being in the future?
Well, I think that globally, we've got to a particular point in history where up till now, by and large, we've taken water resources for granted. So we've progressively increased our demand and increased our use of resources to meet that demand. And I think now we've got to the point where we know that that is not sustainable, and we have to actually sit down and make the hard decisions about how we're going to use our water. That's an issue that's playing out all around the world. Rather frighteningly, it's playing out between states. And there's a lot of rhetoric around, for example, the Nile Basin. The upstream countries are trying to renegotiate the Nile Basin Treaty with Egypt, and there's a lot of vitriol in the Egyptian press over that. That's one example of many potential flashpoints. But if we turn to Western Canada, then there's some really interesting issues. So the Rocky Mountains are changing quite fast with a warmer climate, changing patterns of precipitation and runoff. There's a tendency for the flows in the Rocky Mountain rivers, particularly the Saskatchewan, to decrease. And of course, our use of that water is increasing. So right at the moment in southern Alberta, then there's a restriction on new water licenses. So somehow as a society, we've got to make decisions. Do we want water for agriculture or water for industry or water for hydropower? And how are we going to make those trade-offs? And part of my job is to help develop the science to inform those decisions.
With your research chair, one of the aspects you're looking at is oil sands, and that's why you're here today in Edmonton, because you made a presentation, you introduced yourself to the Conrad Group looking at oil sands research. And you're also based out of the University of Saskatchewan. So what are the kinds of things that you would be looking at with oil sands and water, for example?
Well, oil sands is an industry of huge global significance, but clearly it also raises major issues of environmental concern, and there's a real need for excellent science to be done to address these very complex issues. What's more, there's a need for excellent science to be seen to be done, I think, because certainly the industry is facing increasing scrutiny both nationally and internationally. So I think, to reiterate some of my previous comments, the problems are complex. We have to get people working together across disciplines, and we have to develop the tools that are needed to guide management, remediation, and risk assessment. So we've identified some thematic areas that we think are important, and that includes really large-scale experimental work in the field to look at performance of managed soil covers and wetlands and endpit lakes. We see the need for improved understanding of the chemistry and improved analytical tools. We've got some great expertise in the university because we have the country's only light source, Canadian light source, which is a $170 million facility that allows us to do very sophisticated analysis. And then we're also interested in the environmental effects, and we've got some, again, great expertise in ecotoxicology that can be brought to bear on that using advanced techniques, including genomics. So there's a lot of great science to be done, and at the same time, I'm a modeler, and I'm really interested in working on new generation of risk assessment tools so that we can look at and predict the long-term performance of these systems under climate variability and climate change.
You're such a newcomer to our country. I'm amazed that you can immerse yourself so quickly in Canadian issues, especially things as complicated as what's going on in Alberta and Saskatchewan.
Well, I'm really excited by the challenges of coming to a new country with a new set of issues. For me personally, it's been very stimulating, and I'm really enjoying the challenges.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.